Welcome to the Abbot Loop Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
One of the first lessons a child learns is to follow. They follow the look, the sound, and the smells of their parents. They know when you're close and they know when you're far away. Your presence comforts them. They feel secure. God made them that way. God made them to need you. God made them to feel comfortable in your presence. And as a baby grows, they learn to say what you say. And they listen to you and they repeat what you say. And pretty soon you hear yourself coming through the voice of your child. And you're thinking, did I say that? They sound just like me. Do I say it like that? I didn't know they sounded like that. Children also learn how to follow the actions of their parents. They're learning by way of observation. What you do, they will do. They will follow the behaviors of their parents. Even when you specifically say, do not do what I do, do what I say, they will do what you do, not necessarily what you say. They learn how to follow by example. They learn how to follow by observation. And as they grow, they learn how to follow not only your actions and your words, but they'll begin to follow your behaviors and your beliefs. What you believe, they will believe. What you follow, they will follow. We're born to be followers. God made us that way. And to follow, the word follow as it's used in the scriptures, means to not just follow somebody's teachings, like you're following a Twitter. It's not like you're following a blog or you're following somebody on Facebook. It means to follow them means to actually imitate them, to become like them, to internalize what they believe to where it becomes what you believe, and then you become like the one that you're following. That's why it's so important to be a good example to your children, because they will very oftentimes grow up to be very much like the example that they've seen in you. So they need to have someone that they can follow to help them become mature and wise and make wise choices for themselves. But children don't always like to follow. Did you ever notice that? Even when they should, they sometimes resist being a good follower. And how many times have parents said, because I said so, that's why. Why do I have to follow you? Because I said so, that's why. Followership is part of God's plan to help us grow up to be mature sons and daughters in Christ. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 40, he said, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be just like his teacher. Jesus knew about people, and he knew that we were followers, and he knew that we needed to be led, and he knew that men and women need to be good followers and practice good followership. And Jesus called men to follow him. Jesus called men and women to follow him. Jesus called men and women to follow him even when they didn't have all the facts. Jesus called us to follow him even though we don't even know where it will take us. And it's not too hard to follow somebody if we have a map and we know where we're going. But how many of us don't like to really know where we're going? Just follow me. Follow me. Sometimes the exuberance of the leader can cause a little bit of panic. Oh, boy, they seem really excited about where they're taking me, but I have no idea where they're taking me. So there's a little bit of hesitancy sometimes to follow when someone says, just follow me. But even when we don't know where it will take us, it's a walk of faith. It's a walk of trust. When Jesus first approached Simon Peter, he never told him all that would be involved in following him. He never explained to him, these are some of the things you can expect along the way. These are some of the things that you'll run up against. These are some of the things you'll see, some of the things you'll experience, some of the ups, some of the downs. He never explained that to him. He didn't explain to him what it would cost him to be a follower. He just simply said this. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, as Jesus walked along beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw some guys tossing a net out into the water. It was a little family business. Father's name was John. He had two boys, Simon and Peter. Simon later became Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were throwing their nets out into the water, fishing away. And Jesus walked up to him and he said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." These are the first words that Jesus ever spoke to Simon Peter. The first thing that he ever heard Jesus say was, "Follow me." And there was an urgency in his voice when he said that. When Simon Peter heard those words, "Follow me," there was something inside of him that said, "I need to do this." He didn't say, "Where to? For how long? What do I get paid? Is it going to be fun? What are the benefits?" He never asked him any questions. He just felt an urgency. And it says, at once, they left their nets and followed him. At once, instantly. I can imagine the father standing there saying, "What am I going to tell your mother? You just walked off with a rabbi. Hello, who's going to clean these fish?" It says, at once they just said, "Dad, we got to go." And they left and they followed him. Can you see that picture? That urgency to follow when you don't know where it's going? You don't know where it's taking you? You don't know what it's going to be like? Is it going to be fun? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be hard? Is it going to be real? Is it going to be, what's it going to be like? But following Jesus, one of the first things that Peter realized and his brother Andrew was that following Jesus is going to require a willingness to change. You can't follow if you're not willing to change. If you're not willing to resist the familiarity of day in and day out, if you're not willing to take a little risk, you can't follow. And Peter knew right away that this is going to take some willingness to change. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to leave my family. I'm going to leave my father, leave the family business, and we're going to just move on with him. Following Jesus requires not only a willingness to change, but it requires living a life of tension. There's a certain amount of tension in following Jesus. Have you ever noticed? "Follow me," Jesus said. You're going, "Oh, follow you through that?" Little tension. Leave your dad, leave your business, make significant changes in your life, being willing to change. Peter knew that following Jesus would bring about radical changes. And Jesus was not asking Peter to do something that he himself was not already familiar with. Jesus had to leave Nazareth. He had to leave Joseph and Mary and his five siblings. He had to leave his home, his family business, to follow his father's purposes. So he already knew what he was asking Peter to do. He said, "Follow me. Just like what I did, you do the same thing." And Jesus said later in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 37, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me, imitate me, become like me, is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So Peter and Andrew and the other disciples began following Jesus. And as they followed Jesus, they experienced things they never could have imagined. They saw things they could not hardly believe. They saw healings. They saw miracles. They heard teachings that impacted their lives. They saw this man, Jesus, do things that they knew were not humanly possible. Jesus took them places that they could not have imagined. In the next 3.5 years, they would experience more than we will all experience in our lifetime. Jesus took them places that they could hardly imagine. They saw demons being cast out. They saw limbs being healed. They saw people being raised from the dead. They saw a little boy's lunch feed 5,000 people. And later they saw another just fragment of loaves and fishes feed 4,000 people. They saw miraculous signs and wonders. It was amazing the things that they saw. And there's an account in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, where the disciples are out on the water in a boat. It's about the fourth watch of the night. Jesus went out to them walking on the lake, and it wasn't frozen. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it's I, don't be afraid. If you saw somebody walking on the water in the middle of the night, you think it was a ghost too, you probably would be pretty afraid as well. And then Peter says this, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, all right, come. And then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. We've all heard that story, haven't we? Can you imagine for just a moment what that must have been like? Peter had already seen some pretty amazing things by this time. So he was thinking, if that's you, let me come walking with you. He never even took a, you know, for a second never thought that he couldn't do it. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And so we use that story a lot of times about teaching about faith and so forth. And we're quick to point out in the story that Peter sank. He took his eyes off of Jesus and so he sank. But before he took his eyes off of Jesus, he was on the water. Hello? Pretty amazing. You only walked two steps. I walked two steps. Okay. How many did you 11 guys walk? But Peter experienced the power of God because he was willing to take a risk. He was following Jesus. He was imitating Jesus. He was doing what Jesus did. And he said, if that's really you, let me follow you out there. He did something only he can do. He got out of the boat. Then he did something he could not possibly do if it were not for the power of God. And throughout his life, Peter had to continually follow Jesus, even risking failure and embarrassment. And then one time Jesus said, Peter, James, and John, I want you guys to go with me on a day hike. We're going up to a mountain. And they climbed a mountain. The three of them were with Jesus. They climbed this mountain. And it says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, there Jesus was transfigured before them. It's like a live, living detergent commercial. It says, his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. It's like they were sitting there and all of a sudden, in the circle, Jesus went, started glowing, dazzling white. And they're looking at each other going, are you getting this down? Did you get a picture of this? And then there appeared Elijah the prophet from the Old Testament and Moses, and who were talking with Jesus. And Peter with the foot-shaped mouth, said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then it says parenthetically in Mark's gospel, he did not know what to say. And so they were so frightened. So he's just babbling, quite frankly. We got to do something. This is amazing. Then a cloud appeared. If this wasn't enough, okay, Jesus is glowing, dazzling white, brighter than any bright white that you've ever seen. Then Moses is sitting next to him, and Elijah sitting next to him. And these three guys are sitting there, you know, with their mouths open like this. Then, if that weren't enough, a voice came from the cloud. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. The Father now speaks audibly to these guys. This is a pretty good outing. Wouldn't you agree? Pretty amazing. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. And they kept the matter to themselves, discussing what from rising to the dead from the dead really actually meant. But here is this young fisherman whose only thing he knew in his life was casting nets and catching fish. And then he follows this rabbi. And he begins to see things and hear things and experience things that he could not even imagine. Jesus took him places that he did not explain, nor did he give him any reason to understand what was going to be happening. Amazing things, inspiring things, challenging things, and difficult and painful things, miraculous things. When you follow Jesus, the same kinds of things are supposed to follow you as well. Our lives are supposed to follow the lives of the disciples. We should have the same kinds of things happening in our lives. Our lives should be more than just following someone's belief like we're following someone's blog. It's more than just following a teaching. It's becoming a follower and living the way the teacher taught us. And the Lord has called each of us to follow him with that same urgency from the Holy Spirit that he said to the first followers. At once they left their nets and followed him. But like it was with Peter, the Lord will purposely not tell you all the facts. He will not tell you ahead of time what you can expect along this journey. But he keeps calling us to keep on following him. To follow Jesus requires a life of commitment. We have to continue to follow him even when we don't know where it's taking us. As long as he's leading us, we can follow him. Following Jesus requires a willingness to change. We have to be willing to live in this tension of, well, I never saw that coming. I never really thought that my life would change so drastically. But following Jesus will sometimes take you through drastic life change. And we say, I just can't do this anymore. This is just too hard. People stop following because they're not willing to change. They don't like the tension. They like the familiarity. But following Jesus requires that we be willing to change and willing to walk in that tension. Do you have areas in your life that you're not really willing to change? Jesus is saying, follow me deeper. And you're saying, I don't know if I want to let go of that. I don't know if I'm ready to stop doing what I was doing. Are there relationships in your life that need to change? Jesus said, sometimes you have to leave relationships behind in order to fully follow him where he's taken you. Sometimes relationships can hold you back from where God is taking you. And you have to be willing, like some of the other followers in the scriptures, to leave behind family relationships, friendships, those relationships that are keeping you from following Jesus as fully as you need to. Following Jesus requires a total surrender. You can't just go one way and then go another way. You have to go all the way. When he said, follow me, he meant surrender the direction that you were going and follow me in the direction that I'm going. And that takes a following on a daily basis, a surrendering on a daily basis. To follow Jesus, you have to stop doing what you were doing and start doing something you weren't doing. That's what it means to surrender, to give up. I'm going to start doing something I hadn't been doing, and I'm going to stop doing something I used to do. That's what following Jesus is all about. Are there things that you haven't stopped doing that you should stop doing? Are there things that you haven't started doing that you need to start doing in order to walk this life of surrender? Just let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. Are there things that are holding you back? Are there relationships? Are there an unwillingness to change, a resistance to tension? Is there an unwillingness to surrender all that you have, all that you are for what you could be? Have you relinquished the control of your life? We all like to just say, Jesus, you're in control of my life. But we'll stand real close to the wheel, you know. He goes, I got this. Just go back to sleep. But followers of Jesus must be willing to sacrifice. Peter had to sacrifice a lot to follow Jesus. He had to sacrifice sometimes saying stupid things. He had to sacrifice his own comfort. He had to sacrifice taking risks sometimes. Does your life reflect a willingness to sacrifice on the behalf of following Christ? To follow Jesus sometimes requires that we have to sacrifice our time, our treasure, our talents, our energy, our income. We have to sometimes be willing to sacrifice in order to continue to follow Jesus. Does your life reflect getting out of your own comfort zone sometimes to do something that's kind of awkward or uncomfortable, or you could maybe look silly by doing it, but you still, to do so is to follow Jesus? To go up to somebody, to approach somebody, to say something to somebody, to pray for somebody, to offer to care for them or to offer to do something for them, gets you out of your comfort zone. You say, Jesus, I want to follow you. Will you risk all that you have for all that you could be? That's what Peter did. He risked all that he had for what he could have if he were to follow Jesus. Are you willing to risk being a failure or embarrassed? And sometimes following Jesus takes us on an unbelievable adventure where you'll see things and do things that you couldn't even imagine possible. Is Jesus calling you to do something that you know you couldn't possibly do without his grace? How many times do we only want to embark in something that we know we can handle? What if Jesus tells us to go up above and beyond what we can handle? The Jesus space, the miracle space between what I can do and what God is calling me to do. That miracle space is all the part that I need Jesus to fill in because I can't do it by myself. When we think about Jesus, when we think about Peter walking on the boat, walking on the water, the issue is not about the one that stepped out of the boat, but really the other 11 that did not. They decided it was safer just to watch what happened to Peter. And then they could give an account of it later. Yeah, he walked a couple steps and then he sank like a rock. It was amazing. But Peter can always say, I took two steps. Or three, he doesn't say how many, a couple. But they all played it safe, but they never got to experience what he experienced. They could never say, I almost knew what it was like to walk on water. You were created for more than just avoiding failure. God has created you to walk an adventure with him. To sometimes risk your own comfort, to get out of your own comfort zone, to follow the adventure that he is calling you on. You are called by Jesus to follow him. And sometimes following him is going to take you to places that you couldn't imagine. Peter experienced the power of God because he was willing to step out in faith and take a risk. The others did not experience the great adventure due to their fear or fear of failure. They just watched Peter. But there's a cost involved in stepping out of the boat. To step out with Jesus with abandon and just say, Jesus, wherever you're taking me, that's where I'm willing to go. Believing God can do amazing things through you if you just simply are willing to take that risk. And part of the risk is growing in faith. Eventually, Peter grew in faith because he saw what Jesus could do in spite of him and through him and with him. When you stay in the boat, you trade growth for comfort. I just want to be a comfortable Christian. I don't want to rock any boats. I don't want to get, you know, any water in the, you know, I just want to be comfortable. But to do that, we trade what we could be for what we already have. And so Jesus is calling us to go further, to go deeper, to trust him more, to be willing to surrender, to be willing to live in that tension of where are you taking me, Jesus? What does this life have that I haven't experienced yet? What is it that you're leading me into? Being a follower of Jesus is not always easy. Sometimes he'll take you to places where you'd never expected it. But we learn that when he takes us through difficult times, he can be trusted. He will never take us someplace and then leave us there without. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. One of the things that taking that step to follow Jesus is that you learn he can be trusted. When he says, follow me, you can trust that he's going to take you to some place that's going to bring him glory and it's going to be for your benefit. As we follow the Lord, we learn, as Peter eventually did, that God will never allow us to be tempted beyond our ability, but will always provide a way out. Peter sometimes failed to find the way out, but God always provided a way out for him. In 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has seized you but what is common to man, and God is faithful, and he'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. He'll never take us someplace where we can't trust him. He'll never take us someplace where we're going to be able, not have a way out. And the other thing is we know that God only allows what will work to accomplish his good purposes in our lives. Sometimes things come crashing down in your life because you are following Jesus and you think, I didn't know it was going to end this way. I didn't know this job or this career or this relationship or this incident or this event or this accident or this sickness. I didn't know it was going to go this way. I never knew all the facts when I first started out. But we know this. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. I remember one time I went through a really, really challenging trial. I thought God was speaking to me. I was following Jesus. I was going a certain direction for a whole year in my life. I thought God was bringing me to a career change. And at the end of the year, it totally went sideways, and it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. And I thought I was following Jesus. And one of my daughters was a little teenager at the time. She wrote that scripture out, Romans 8:28. And she said, "Dad, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." She wrote it out in really beautiful little script and gave it to me to remind me that even though I didn't understand what was going on in my life, God was still faithful. Peter was a follower, a disciple who walked with Jesus in the good times, and he also knew some really hard times. He knew that to be a follower demanded commitment and sacrifice. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6, please. And I'd like to ask the worship team to come back up. Sometimes when you're following Jesus, you hear a message and it's really hard. There's a book written one time and it says that God's hard word is not his final word. Sometimes when you're walking with Jesus, you'll hear a hard word. You'll hear a word that says, you have to change. There is a God and you are not him. That's a hard one. He is Lord. Yeah, he's Lord most of the time, but he wants to be Lord all the time. Sometimes Jesus will say things that are hard for us to receive because we're not following fully like we could. And here a bunch of Jesus' disciples had run, they were starting to bump into some of Jesus' teachings that they found really hard to accept. Has anybody ever had, don't raise your hands, but has anybody ever heard a message where you thought, man, that's hard? Go back and forgive that person? Give more of my money? Volunteer my time? Take in a needy person? You heard a hard thing and you're going, get thee behind me, Satan. That can't be you, Jesus. Anybody ever hear a hard word and you think, I'm really sure that's not God? God wants me to be happy. And sometimes happiness comes through obedience. Sometimes we hear a hard word and it's really hard to follow. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, Jesus was expounding upon the body and the blood of Christ and what it meant to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And a lot of type and symbol there. He wasn't talking specifically, and the disciples were having a real hard time with that. Verse 60, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? I can guarantee you, without even knowing specifics, there are many people today who stop going to a church, stop listening to a speaker, stop reading a book, stop reading a Bible, stop following Jesus for that reason right there. This is a hard teaching. Who can accept that? The emphasis was mine. I didn't really actually say it that way. Verse 61, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Actually, that was probably not the right way to say it, but he probably spoke more like a rabbi. Does this offend you? What? You don't get it? Then he begins to ask him some questions. But the point is here, it comes right down to following. It comes right down to, are you going to follow? Even when it gets hard and difficult and challenging and Verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. This is too hard. Is not that a common phrase in our culture? This wedding, this marriage, these raising these teenagers, this job, it's too hard. Going to church, serving Jesus. I mean, it's kind of a whiny attitude. It's too hard. Yes, it's hard. But God will never take you someplace where he will not always also give you the ability to stand up under your temptation. He will not take you a place that he will not also promise to be with you through that thing and allow his purposes to be accomplished. And you can trust him in all these things. Yes, it's hard. But through the hard things, God causes us to see things that we could never see otherwise. In verse 67, Jesus said to his 12, he says, they're all leaving. Do you guys want to go too? And Peter, in one of his rare moments of acuity and brilliance, he said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. So sometimes in your following Jesus, to follow him is going to take you through hard places. But Jesus is with you in those hard places. He doesn't just stop walking with you in those hard places. He's right there with you. Sometimes we can't see him, but he's right there with us. And then we know what happened when Jesus was crucified and the pressure was up and Simon Peter became weak and fragile and stopped trusting and denied Christ to fulfill the scriptures. They said, you're one of him, aren't you? He goes, no, I never knew the man. You can imagine what Peter must have been through as a follower of Christ, having been to those places that he had been, having seen the miracles, the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, the Mount of Transfiguration, what was that all about? Having seen that firsthand, walking on water firsthand, and then knowing what it means to look someone right straight in the eye and say, I don't know him. Out of fear and embarrassment and shame, I didn't know him. You can imagine how he must have just slumped to the deepest places. Following Jesus took Peter to places he never thought he'd be. He never thought he would deny him. In fact, he said that one time. He goes, I will never deny you. And Jesus said, oh, just wait. Wait and see. But then Jesus, in his mercy, in his love and his compassion, he reinstates Peter in John chapter 21. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. It's interesting because in that exchange, the word love there is two different words. Jesus is asking Peter, are you willing to sacrificially lay down your life for me? Are you willing to agape me? And Simon Peter says, Lord, you know I phileo you. You know I have a deep brotherly affection for you. He said, Simon Peter, are you willing to lay down your life sacrificially for me? He goes, you know I love you with all my heart. He says, are you willing to sacrifice on my behalf for the benefit of others? He goes, you know how I've always loved you. Even in that tension there, he was still struggling with what it really meant to follow Jesus. But then Jesus gave him these words to reinstate him. In verse 19, then Jesus said this to verse 20. Peter turned, no, I'm sorry. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This is the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper, the one who wrote this gospel that we're writing and reading here. Lord, who's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said, well, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. The first word Jesus ever spoke to Simon Peter was, follow me. At the end of his 3.5-year life on earth, the last words Jesus ever spoke to Simon was, follow me. This time it was a little different, though. It wasn't follow me. It was, you must keep on following me. It meant, don't just follow me. Keep on following me no matter what happens, irregardless of what happens. As Peter followed Jesus, he saw the miracles. He saw more than 3.5 years, what most of us will never see in a lifetime. He walked on water. He saw healings, people raised from the dead, the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw Jesus arrested. He knew that he went through the denial. He watched him crucified and die. He saw him raised from the dead. But later when Jesus reinstated him, he once again heard the call, follow me. The words that were so familiar before, only this time it had even more weight. Peter knew that the following Jesus had demanded much from him and the other disciples, yet Jesus was encouraging him to keep on following him even to his death. So the command, follow me, means to keep on following me. And that's the call to us today. Would you stand, please? All of us who have come to Christ felt that urgency at one time to follow Jesus. It may have come forward in a church service. It may have been on a one-on-one with somebody. It might have been in a small group. But at some point, most of us here responded to that urgent call. Follow me. And you go, yes, I will follow you. I will follow you wherever you lead me. And then sometimes some of us have experienced some really hard stuff, some really difficult things, some really tough situations. And following Jesus became really, really challenging. But Jesus' encouragement to us is, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You can trust in me. I'll not take you into a place that I'll leave you by yourself. I'll not leave you. I will not abandon you. I will always be with you. You can trust me. All things work together for good. He's right here with us today saying, you can trust me. You can follow me and keep on following me. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you've called us with an urgency to follow you. And Lord, we don't know what all that means. We don't know all the places that you're going to take us. But we know that you'll always be with us in everything that comes our way. We know that you'll be with us in every situation, every challenge. We know that you'll take us to places that will be unbelievable and miraculous. And you'll take us to difficult places and dark times. You'll say things to us that are hard for us to accept. But it's the truth, and it'll change our life if we're willing to accept it. You'll take us beyond ourselves and move through us in ways that we can never imagine, Father. You want us to not just follow you, but to keep on following you, Father. I pray that you'd help us each to examine our hearts today and see if we are continuing to follow you with that same commitment and that same sacrifice that we did at the beginning. Help us, Lord, to follow you with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds, with all of our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship him.